welcome to this festive edition of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on last week's win at a foggy Dumbarton, preview this week's trip to Montrose, and we'll hear from manager Jim McAnally and striker Russell McLean. I'm Colin Byers, and with me full of festive cheer is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, Colin. How are you?
I'm not bad. Big question. Have your parcels all arrived?
No. I'm waiting on two. They've been shipped, but the tracking information is a load of rubbish. So fingers crossed it's here very soon, so I can then distribute it to who it needs to go to. I won't say who it's for, in case it doesn't get here.
You're flying with the seat of your pants.
Yes.
Excellent. That's what we like to see. So we are in the last final stretch. Christmas is this weekend. It's here already. You said a couple of weeks ago it gets here quick.
It does. It seems to get quicker every year, doesn't it?
But it's here anyway. Fingers crossed at the moment we're getting a Christmas. Whether or not we get one thing after that is up for debate at the minute. There'll be another update later on this week, so we'll see what happens with that. Right, we'll go to the positives, which was the game on Saturday there. A game which, even if you were there, maybe didn't see very much of it. Very foggy Dumbarton. A lot of games in and around got kind of called off and abandoned. But from a Peterhead point of view, it was a really good win, despite the conditions again.
Yeah, a really good win. Second away win of the season, 3 goals. And I think more importantly, come back from being behind twice to win the game. A positive result going into the game coming up in midweek.
I know Dumbarton are struggling, but and it's something that we've mentioned a few times, but coming back from behind, not just coming back from behind to get a point, but winning the game, maybe would have been something that we wouldn't have been thought about last season or the season before.
Absolutely, yeah. We've said numerous times that sometimes you're maybe happy to get back in a game and then take a point, but you know, this year, as we've said numerous times as well, the league is so tight and competitive that you've got to get the wins from somewhere. And you know, being behind twice, a lot of teams maybe would have thought, you know, they'll take a point and get up a road, but the guys kept going. They got the third goal, the winning goal, and overall on the day I think they deserved it as well.
Yeah, no David Wilson, no Andy McCarthy, no Simon Ferry, no Ryan Duncan, but back into the lineup was Hamish Ritchie, Lyle Cameron, Naya Payne as well. He started, and Derek Lyle came back on the bench as well. And again, it's something we've mentioned a few times, is just now the depth of that squad. You know, you've got four guys there missing, but you've replaced them with quality again.
Yeah, as I've said, Ken, you've got players like you mentioned, Lyle Cameron coming back in. For this time last year, you know, he was high flying, so to bring him back into the fold as well, I don't think there is an area of the pitch now that one player goes out and another player comes in and you feel weaker. I think maybe in previous seasons, with respect, you'd maybe bring a couple of players in and you go, we're maybe lacking a wee bit in quality, but I think the guys that we've got now are good players, good quality, and we're maybe just starting to see that with the results that we're getting. That's now, what, only 2 defeats out of 11, so we're just starting to see that quality coming through.
First 15 minutes, we could pretty much write off as just nothing really happened.
Is that because we didn't see anything?
Well, maybe someone did that. We just didn't see it. A couple of corners, I think that was probably much in such as the game was. They got the opener inside 16 minutes. Again, it's a theme that we've been going on about for the last 2 years since we've been DNS, is going away from home and conceding early inside the first 15-20 minutes. It's still happening. So when they got that kind of goal, you were almost kind of thinking, oh, here we go again.
Yeah, from when a goal down, it was a wee bit apprehensive, because if you lost that game, your 3 games it was talking about trying to get like 7-9 points, you're staring at only 2 points in the face. And as you said, early goals seem to be a constant Achilles heel ours. It's something that you think you're sort of turning a corner by. Some games you play well, and then other games you sort of are still conceding them early goals, which is disappointing. But the, as you said, the positive is we came back.
It was a goal for a corner as well, which is disappointing. And the height and presence that we've got, Gagan's got an in and got the header, which is disappointing from a defensive point of view.
Yeah, as you said, it's frustrating. It's sort of an area that I felt we didn't get exposed to that too much defending corners, but on that particular occasion we were. His poor defending is what would be marked better, but it's something that you hope doesn't become a constant problem, you know, defending set pieces.
Hamish Ritchie had a shot which he kind of dragged wide. He just can't buy a goal at the minute.
He's lacking the confidence a wee bit, is he? We said about Russell McLean a couple of weeks ago, once he gets that goal, you expect him to go in a couple of games of doing really well with goals and assists. And I think it's got to be the same for Hamish. Once he gets that either initial goal or a really good pass or an assist, I think he'll be okay, but he's just waiting for something to happen for him.
And then the Bluetooth Cafu popped up again with an equaliser, which was a typical Josh Mulligan goal, or what is now becoming a typical Josh Mulligan finish, getting into that kind of areas and hitting it across the goal. And when we spoke to him a couple of weeks ago, he was determined he was going to try and get more of those efforts on target. And if he gets more of them on target, what will happen is he'll get more goals, and that's what's happened here.
Yeah, he gets into good areas. If there's any criticism going forward, is when he does get into them areas, he's not getting it on target. And like you said, when he spoke to us a few weeks ago, it's sort of part of his game that he's wanting to improve on. As you said, if he's going to get them on target, 90 out of 10, you think he's going to score, because they're normally good efforts. Got us back in the game. Crucial point as well, because you know what, I go too long in the game at a goal down, got back in level terms pretty quickly. And deserved it as well.
As quickly as we got the equaliser, they went back in front again within about 2 or 3 minutes as well. Conor Duffy, I think, was one that we'd picked out last week when we were previewing the game. He gets a second, and you then think, well, we've got ourselves back into it, we've then conceded again. Is there going to be a sort of domino effect again? Does the head start to go down again?
Yeah, absolutely. It's strange, because obviously it's simple maths, but when you concede two to then win a game, you need to score three. And we didn't often, barring one or two games, score three goals, especially away from home as well. It's very rare that we do it. But we managed, we did well. And it's one of them things that you don't want to be conceding goals. And obviously we just got back into the game. You then concede a second, it gives yourself an uphill task, and you're relying, heavily on your strikers to get goals if you're going to concede too early on.
We then get a penalty just 5-6 minutes later. Russell McLean gets his penalty saved, but then tucks away the rebound. It was Scott Brown was getting his penalty saved. McLean then has one. It was a. It's easy to say, but every penalty that's saved, I think, is a poor one, but I think this one was probably even poorer. Yeah. But then he makes up for it by getting the rebound.
Yeah, for within seconds of being disappointed that he's missed his penalty, or saved, however you want to perceive it, he's then had the ambition to go forward and try and score again. He's not just been disappointed, he's wanted to make amends for it. And as you said, it's ironic we're mentioning about Scott Brown missing a penalty, and then Russell McLean does it with a poor penalty as well. So be interested to see the next penalty that we get, if it's going to be a third taker or whether it would maybe go back to Scott. But yeah, thankfully it didn't cost us in the end. He's managed to make amends for it.
2-2 at half time. I think that just sums up the fighting qualities and the determination that these young guys have got just to get themselves back into the game and make sure that they're not going to get defeated heavily. As I said earlier, it could have been so easy for them to put their heels kind of dropped and gone, we're not going to get anything out of this game. But they kept going and got that equaliser and was in level at half time.
Partially, I think it sums up our season as a whole, that 45 minutes. The fact that we've conceded relatively early, we've then gotten straight back into the game, we've then conceded again, but we've gone in at half-time level and gotten that second goal. It sort of topsy-turvy, it sort of sums up the season in terms of results. But, as you said, it's crucial, went in at half-time at worst level, and then you kick on for the second half.
Yeah, and just after half-time as well, Gagan had the ball in the net, but it was offside, which might have just been the luck that we were needing. You just felt that, had they gotten in front that early in the half, that could have been it. But round about the hour mark, there was a couple of chances. I think one was off the line as well. And again, we say I think because difficult to see. So you just felt at that time that we were creating a lot of effort, a lot of chances, getting a lot of efforts on goal, and you just felt that we were on top, and that was the right kind of time, if we were going to get anything, to get that third goal.
Yeah, there's been times this season where we've been the better team, but you've said it numerous times in your commentary that we just kind of find that killer edge in front of goal, and it you do sometimes get concerned that you're on top but you're not actually taking your chances. So it was good in that game where you've gone behind twice, you've gotten back level twice, and you've then kicked on and got the third one. We were on top of the game as well, so it was good to get the third and also managed to hold out.
And then Rusty gets his second of the game, another towering header from him from a corner as well. Brilliant finish. His 10th of the season, which, you know, a couple of weeks ago maybe wouldn't have thought was anywhere near, but I think it's now 5-5 in his last five games, so it's a great run he's on. And as you said earlier, and you mentioned a few weeks ago as well, just that one goal goes and the hits are on, and the confidence then just builds.
Yeah, he's a confidence sort of player. And I certainly think that when he's scoring goals, you just see the way he goes about in the pitch as well. He seems to be first to the headers, he's first to the pressing. It's when he's gone that 2-3 games, you just feel he's that little yard behind. But when he's on form, as you said, 5-5, then anything he hits, you think is going to go in because he's got that confidence.
So going into the last 20 minutes, I didn't really feel as though that we were holding on to anything, but I didn't feel as though that Dumbarton were offered much going forward. You felt, even at 3-2, 20 minutes ago, you felt comfortable, which is a really strange...
eerie.
You just felt, because they were sitting second bottom, you would have felt that they would have gone for it, but it didn't seem to be that way.
No, it was eerie, because although we're 3-2 up, you felt comfortable enough in the game, but you also felt that at any given time, a lapse in concentration like we've had in the last couple of weeks, and we could be back to 3-3. Mm-hmm. But no, the guys held on, they did well, and you know, as we said last week, that it now becomes 5 points out of 9, which, given the fixtures we had and the way we've been in games, it's okay. I said it last week, it's an okay return. But when you look at the league table, okay, there's games abandoned, but you're sitting bang in the middle. I think at Christmas time we'd have taken it.
You mentioned there that the game's been abandoned. I mean, games have been abandoned right, left and centre across the divisions in Scotland, and in the back of your mind you're thinking, is the referee going to call this one as well, just to really put a spanner in the works? But I don't think it was ever particularly that bad. But you know, the other game has been abandoned. You just think, you felt as though this could go a bit pear shaped here.
You worry about it when you're winning because you don't want the game abandoned. If you're losing, you're like, get that fog down. And we'd have just been our luck to be 3-2 up, and the referee call, you know, abandon it with 10 minutes to go. Was it the Clyde game? It was stopped and then actually decided to continue, and then eventually it was abandoned. Mm-hmm.
They did that at the Falkirk game as well.
Falkirk as well. So it just shows that some of them referees will stop it. Thankfully, your game didn't get stopped, but I think had it maybe been played for another 15, 20 minutes, he might have called it.
Well, it's funny because remember the home game with the wind, they were dying for the game to be called off.
Yeah, never maybe
the same here as well. So with the other games, I guess it's. You know, the teams around about us will have a game in hand, but we've got the points on the board. I think that's the key thing.
Oh, points on the board all day long. You can put yourself under too much pressure by having games in hand, and you go, well, if we win, we're next two, then we're such and such. But if you've got the points on the board, you don't have to worry about other teams. You let them worry about you. As I said, we're sitting fifth, we're in mid-table. We're 6 points ahead of ninth now, but we're only 4 points off the second and third. It's very, very close.
We're up to fifth, 4 points ahead of Dumbarton, who are in ninth, and then we're 9 points ahead of East Fife. East Fife have got a game in hand.
Yeah.
Weirdly, we're now above Falkirk, although with some goal difference and they've got a game in hand. Having said that, you just never know with Falkirk.
The way Falkirk are playing.
Yeah, they could lose that as well. But that's, I think that is a key thing that they were now up there. I mean, from a name moral, but you know, as a morale booster, as I should say, you see yourself sitting fifth in the table and you think, oh, yeah, that's good.
I think it's a psychological thing as well.
Yes.
You look at a table and go, well, aye, we're sitting fifth, we're only... And I think it's that thing when you look at a table and you're actually looking up rather than going, oh, we're only X points above 8th and 9th. You're actually looking up going, oh, we're only 3 or 4 points away. And, with the squad that we've got, we said it at the start of the season, we should be looking to be, you know, clear of the relegation sort of playoff. You're looking at mid-table, looking up rather than down. And I certainly think, as we are at this point in time, we certainly should be still looking upwards.
And it's the first away win in the last four, unbeaten in the last four, but just two losses in the last 10 in league. So it's a slow process, but we're starting to kind of churn out these results. And like I said to you a couple of weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, you just felt as though there was a run, a form, and a form of results that, you know, is almost there, and maybe this is just the continuation of it.
But you also said a couple of weeks ago that you look at the games that we've had, and over them 10 games, there was easy 3 or 4 games that last year even we wouldn't have come back and gotten anything from the game. So I certainly think there is a change. I think there's been a change in the club in the last 2 years anyway, with players coming in, the age of the players coming in, the style that Jim's been playing, the formations. It is a slow process, but I think we're now just starting to see what it's been about over the last 2 years.
We're at the halfway point as well, so we've got 22 points from those 18 games. And Jim has said on numerous occasions, if you can get 9 or 10 per quarter every round of games, you'll do well. So we're above that. We're slightly above it, but we're above it.
Yeah, you're above that sort of average quota. It's one of them things. If you get a point per game, I think it just works. Is it working out about 1.3? If you average that over a course of a season, you're going to be well clear of the relegation worries. And at the moment, as you said, we're on target for that. But again, we should be looking up. They send promotion players, but certainly that comfortable mid-table. With the squad that we've got, I think we should be.
Right, let's get the thoughts now of the manager. Here's what he had to say after the game.
So, Ken Morton, Bluetooth Media, here with Jim McAnally. Jim, 3 points, an away win. What was your take on the game today?
I don't know, I didn't see it. No, my take on it was, I thought the first half we were excellent. We conceded 2 goals, one for a set piece, the other one for a mistake, really. Our goalkeepers really went through the game. I mean it, he's not a save to make the whole game. But I thought the first half we were really good. We, like I said yesterday when I was speaking, previewing the game, I knew that if our talented players play, then we've got a good chance of winning. And I thought we were just really good. We passed the ball well. We opened them up. We were getting in behind. Our movement was excellent. Grant Savory, Will L. Cameron showed. Real El Cameron showed the day what he showed last season when he was here, and that's the first we've seen that really for him. And him and Josh on the right hand side were excellent, and I just, to come back twice showed a lot of character also, for, you know, bearing in mind the age of the team and how young a team it was. So we showed a lot of character. The second half they pushed up on us, so to try to play out the way we were playing out, and they did. And I think after maybe a 10 minute period where we struggled to get out a wee bit, we eventually did get out. And then, you know, it was a scrappy game, obviously. The weather was really poor. And I just felt once we got ahead, we just never looked back, really. You know?
Yeah. You've mentioned the word resilience in previous interviews, and that was evident again today.
Well, I think we went behind to Queen's Park. We went behind last week to East Fife, and you know, we've went behind again twice a day, but we've just kept playing, and that's what we're just encouraging them today, is keep playing. Because when you've got, I mean, players like we've got, players that really need to get the ball to their feet sometimes and play and pass it, and then you've got to try and use that. And you know, the first one, the first goal that they scored is a guy running for a corner where one of the younger players doesn't track him. But we didn't dwell on that. We just got back again, and you know, we just go on with it. And I don't know if young players are sometimes a wee bit fearless to just go and play again. You know, it doesn't really have any impact on them. So, you know, I just felt as though the first half we were really good. I thought we passed the ball well. We were unlucky actually that we weren't ahead, to be honest. So I'm just delighted, because I know fifth position is a bit false, bearing in mind that there was games abandoned today, but mentally it's good, and it's a big 3 points, bearing in mind, you know, when I look back in the last couple of weeks, you know, we really should have won at Clyde, and you know, if we don't lose a silly goal last week, we might have won the game and all. So
hindsight's a great thing.
I know. So the main thing is, look, we've got a depleted squad today, but the depth of our squad showed, and that augurs well for us. You know, we've got a really tough game on Wednesday at Montrose against a really solid outfit, you know, and we know that it's a totally different game, but I don't think we'll have anybody's back, so we just need to go with the same guys again, but hopefully get a wee bit of confidence for that today.
Every game in this league is a cup final, really, isn't it? It's so difficult, this league. You saw today Dumbarton were really wanting to try and win the game, as you would expect, but I felt we controlled a lot of the game, and that was pleasing to see.
No, it was. That's what I'm saying. It is a tough league. I mean, it's a fantastic league. I think the years that we've been in, staff been here, and I think it's the strongest it's been. And, you know, it's every point's a prisoner. And, you know, the second quarter now finished, and we've got 22 points or something like that. If we could equal that in the next, we should be okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think we'll try to develop a team here, and obviously the team's a wee bit younger, and if we can keep it going and you know, who knows? I've always thought that we might improve as the season goes on, because the players will get to know each other a wee bit better. Hopefully they get a wee bit more confident, and when we do get the players back that we're missing, you know, it makes us stronger.
And I think it's been clear since the start of the season. You know, I've seen an improvement game on game. We're now at the halfway stage, and you know, getting players back, that will really help to push on the second period,
of
providing
course.
Injuries.
No, of course,
as well.
Of course it will. And you know, we just need to, you know, we don't moan about injuries. We just go on it, because, as I said, the wee Lyle Cameron the day has. You know, he was disappointed after he played against Queen's Park that he wasn't back in the team, but I didn't feel as though he'd reached his standards that he showed. And then today he goes and shows his standards, and that's gives that opportunity. So Wee Lyle now keeps his place in the team for Wednesday night.
That one just at the end there, where he made a 40-yard run and challenge, that was great to see.
You
see the boys, you know, just congratulate him.
Brilliant. I mean, that's as good as anything they've done going forward, you know what I mean? Yeah. Because we were getting caught in a counter attack, and they burst his cell to get back in. That was brilliant, and that's all we look for him, is just hard work. And if we work as hard as the opposition, then we've got the talent to outplay them.
Now it's a case of just looking forward to Montrose and getting set for that. And as you said, mentioned there, again they're a tough outfit to beat, and so
really
just preparing ourselves.
They're a supervised team, and we've not done particularly well down there. Although we've scored a few goals the other time, but. You know, we need to get down there and just play as we did today. And if we play as we did today, then we'll run them close.
Yeah, Jim, obviously very pleased with the result. Particularly pleased with Lyle Cameron's performance as well. We've said on a few occasions again about the standards that he set himself last year. He hasn't maybe done that this year, but it's obviously after hearing from Jim there that that's the level of performance he's expecting now of Lyle.
Yeah, Lyle set them standards when he first came in. He set the standard that he was going to be playing to. And I think Lyle would admit he's dropped his standards over the last couple of months. We spoke at length before about the situation that Lyle's been in, but he's got himself back in the team through injuries. And I think, you know, although he's come in through an injury, he's made a strong case for himself going forward, and he's done himself no harm. And again, it's these players that are out injured, they might have to come back and fight for their place back in the team.
And he's noted as well that they've hit the 22 points, and he reckons that targeting another 22 in the second half should be enough to get us safe. But he's also looking to maybe improve on that as well.
Yeah, I think any manager's got to look to improve. I think if you get 44 points from your season, you're looking at mid-table, you know, higher end of the mid-table. And I think we'd have taken that at the start of the season if somebody said you'll finish with potentially 44 points. Again, we're getting slightly ahead of ourselves, but, you know, you look at some of the results that we've had, we've been disappointed with over the last couple of weeks. If you turn them into wins, you know, you never know if it could happen.
OK, we'll now hear from the match winner, Russell McLean. Here's what he had to say after the game.
OK, Ken Morton, Bluetooth Media, here with Russell McLean. Rusty, that's 3 points useful on the road. What was your take on the game today?
I thought we played well for large parts of the game. I think when they scored, they probably scored against someone to play. I think they're in control of the game to an extent. It was a goal, we get back in it. It was another goal, we get back in it. And then we go and kick on. But I thought, well, you want me to make excuses for conditions, but passed it well enough on the pitch. It was a good result all around there.
You mentioned the conditions there. It was quite foggy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was foggy, wasn't it?
Can you see him for the first 60 minutes then he scored a one?
Good to see you. It wasn't too bad. It got quite bad in the second half. But it didn't really have the fog. Didn't have enough effect in the game. I'm talking about the pitch, but it was the worst pitch in the world. But I thought we dealt with it well. And you come to places like this, I suppose it doesn't really matter how you play as long as you win. We've done that today. Look at last week and the week before, games that should be winning and we don't. So we kind of corrected that this week by just winning. You know what I mean? When you're playing these teams, they're going to make it difficult. Try and just defend. When they go up, you think they're going to try and hold on, and they managed to break them down. So I'd like you to take 3 points.
It's a difficult team. You know, all these games are difficult. It's like a cup final every game, isn't it?
Oh, it's not an easy game in this league. Never. I mean, the last time we played them up the road, we beat them 5-0. The game was never a 5-0 game. It's just every game. It's like you said, every game's a cup final. You look at the league and Clyde get points at teams at the top of the league. East Fife get points at teams at the top of the league. No two games the same.
Two goals for you again today, so that's you up to 10, I believe, now.
Yeah, 10.
Are you pleased with that?
Aye. The penalty was absolutely pathetic. I just passed it in the middle, and the goalie's sizes with me, and he's stuck his leg out, but he just keeps scoring goals. 10's all right. You look at the other strikers in the league, and they've got more than 10, so I want to try and be up there, but I'll take 10 to start with.
Did you set yourself a target at the start of the season? Or
not really, no. I don't really set targets. Just frustrated if I don't score. Never really set any targets. I just
see what happens.
I mean,
hopefully the ball just falls the right way.
I suppose I'm a tough striker. I want to score every goal, but if I win and I'm not scoring and playing well, then that'll work clearly the relegation zone looking at the playoffs, and I'll score every week and get beat. So 10's alright. No, hopefully more than 10 in the second half of the season.
And I see improvement every week in this team. You know, that's the halfway point of the season. Do you see that on the pitch as well, the improvement that the lads are making?
Aye, I mean, look, we're all young. We're not all young. We bring on Dell 5 minutes to go, but most of the boys that are playing are young defenders, young midfielders, and we still, all over me and Cody, we still make mistakes that if we cut out, make it easier for ourselves. I mean, the two goals a day are massively avoidable, but it's going to happen, and you see that probably because we're young. It's like we can see that goal and it's like, alright, the ball will go again, and we go and get back in the game. But there is improvements. I mean, we are cutting most of the mistakes, and suppose you look today, 3-2 up with what, 20 minutes to go, and they start throwing everything at you and we grind it out, which some younger teams, you want to call them that, would crumble under the pressure or make mistakes or whatever. But we're certainly making improvements and we can only get better. I mean, we've got some key players injured. Boys are coming in, like, really over there, thought you'd be wrong. We've played for weeks, comes in and does that. So once we get everybody playing to the best they can and everybody fit, then it's only going to be a bonus for us.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was looking at the table, we're up to fifth now. Okay, there's a few games being abandoned today, so they've got games in hand, but that's a good position to be, you know, closing out
the games in hand,
closing out the year.
We get caught filled with the games in hand crap the year that Montrose won. Like, we had games in hand galore, and we didn't win the points, we didn't win the games, so they played every week, their games were on every week, kept winning, and we were sitting going, like, games in hand. But you need to go, like, for example, Falkirk, we go East Fife on a Tuesday night. So we'd rather have the points on the board, but up to fifth, it just shows you that one win and your game's off handle, but one win and you're looking relatively clear at the bottom and starting to look up the way. And don't want to dwell on games gone by, but the last two games, I suppose, when you look at the table, you're frustrated that certainly a Clyde game dropped 2 points. But you can't go back on that, so just need to move on and fall to Wednesday.
And Wednesday, obviously, Montrose, another difficult game. How are you feeling about that? Because do you have any mixed feelings because of your time with Montrose?
Nah.
No, it's just a
another team. I mean, look at some of the boys that have played today. Dumbarton have played just about every team in the league, do you know what I mean? So you can't have any feeling.
No, yeah.
I mean, I know most of the boys, I'm still really close with a few of them, so it's always, you always get that wee bit extra to play your mates, so
I
look forward to it. It'll be a tough game at Lynx Park. They've got a way of playing, they know how to play it, they play it well. But I mean, we showed up and played them up the road that we matched them, if not better than for certain stages in the game, so I'll go up there, you'll go down there with confidence, and we'll take the game as it comes.
Rusty there mentioned that he's now on 10. Didn't really set himself any targets, but 10 is a good figure. It's the first Peterhead player to get double figures for about 3 seasons, so goals have been hard to come by, but good to see somebody now into double figures.
Yeah, I think that's the prime reason that Jim brought him back to Balmoor was for his goals. He's got 10. He said in his audio there that he thinks it's okay. I think he himself realises he's maybe just got that little bit more to give, and you know, if he's got 10 at the halfway point, again, he doesn't set himself targets, but if you think he maybe get another 5, 6, 7 at the turn of the year as well, you know, it's a really good return.
We should thank our good friend Ken Morton for the audio there, for both clips, so thank you very much to Ken for those. One bit of news that kind of broke earlier on, or it was announced, that Gary Fraser had his operation last Thursday. Peterhead have said today that it went well. I think it went better than they were expecting, or the surgeon did a little bit more than was expected. So we're looking around about 2 or 3 months before he's got me back again. But for him and for us, there's almost a light at the end of the tunnel now.
Yeah, what a long road Gary's had. And you know, it'd probably been easy for him just to throw in the towel and, you know, give up. I'd say his sort of mentality, and to hear him back on the pitch, it's that old cliche of like a new signing.
Mm-hmm.
But what a lift that could give the guys, come, you know, tail end of March, April, to hear Gary coming on and playing with him, getting 90 minutes under his belt, like as I said, a new signing. So really looking forward to Gary getting back on the pitch.
Still heavily involved with the team coming up, and just being in and around the team, I think just gives him a lift.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've seen him a few times up here, and he's certainly a character. We had him on, you know, at the start of the season. He's a good guy, and you know, you've seen that by the well wishes on social media for him as well. So yeah, delighted that it's gone well, and hopefully he'll be back on the pitch sooner rather than later.
Yeah, so we wish him well, obviously, and hope to see him back on the pitch sooner rather than later. One other bit of news, maybe, I don't know if it's news yet, other than the call-offs because of the fog up in Scotland, across the border, there were numerous games called off because of COVID. A huge amount of games, 20 odd, I think it was, in total. there is a bit of a concern that that might filter its way north. The Joint Response Committee announced, I think at the weekend, that the Premiership teams up until their shutdown just after the new year, they will have more testing, rigorous testing between the staff and the players. Championship League 1 and League 2 and below, there's a meeting this week, I think, to discuss that. You've, on your social media, have maybe tongue-in-cheek suggested that it might be a shutdown or a breaker. But there is still a possibility that that's going to happen again.
Yeah, whilst it is tongue-in-cheek, I think we're now, when there were so many games called off, you know, south of the border, it's only a matter of time before you feel that it sort of filters through. You know, and having seen what happened, you know, 12 months ago, I certainly think that there will be something implemented, whether it is more testing or, you know, clubs out with the Premiership are told to test and, or how it's going to work. Or I think there will be something introduced, whether it is a circuit breaker for a couple of weeks. The problem is, you do that for a couple of weeks, when exactly are you going to start? We had this before. We thought it was a couple of weeks in January. It ended up being, you know, mid-March or something before we got back. So, yeah, it was tongue-in-cheek over the weekend, but I certainly think as you see the cases rising as well, I think they're, you know, if we're still playing football in January, it's a good thing. But sitting here at the time of recording, I would be surprised if there is a lot of it in January.
One thing that did, I seen it on social media, one sort of spoke to me, if you like, one tweet spoke to me, was the fact that guy says, right, you can try and do a lockdown and all the rest of it, but as soon as you sort of take away FIBA or any like events as such, then that starts to affect people's mental health. It starts to affect, you know, their social life, if you like. So they've got to take that into consideration as well. But my concern is that if they try and do another circuit breaker or lockdown, whatever you want to call it, are people going to follow it through? You know, try and ban FIBA, try it on ban FIBA, but try and shut it down again. You know, where does it end? That's the thing.
I think you asked the question, would folk abide by it? I think what we've seen in the news over the last couple of weeks, I think you'd be hard pushed to get people to abide by it, regardless of how much they try and enforce it. I don't think stopping FIBA is the answer to it, but I am aware that there is, you know, larger crowds or gatherings, as they want to call it. So They might decide that that's one avenue, but I don't think that's, you know, you stop FIBA, I think that's all of a sudden going to make cases come down. They proved that last year, the FIBA got back. There was a slight rise in cases, but nothing too substantial. So fingers crossed we turn to go in the new year and there is FIBA, because obviously that's what we're all hoping for.
I mean, to be fair, there was, what, 50-odd thousand at Hampden on Sunday, 40-odd thousand at Ibrox on the Saturday. You know, how much was there at the Liverpool-Tottenham game? You know, and Tottenham said three or four games called off because of COVID. So, you know, it starts to get a bit silly when you say, well, we need to stop cows going, or we need to just curtail FIBA for a couple of weeks.
I think if Abdi's doing the flow tests and, you know, doing them before events, you'd like to think people are smart enough to know that if they've taken a test and they're positive, they don't go. If they're negative, they go and enjoy themselves. I think it's, you're almost at a point now where you get two ends of the scale, where there is people that are for the lockdowns and circuit breaker, and there's those that are saying, well, let us get on with it, and if people don't want to come to this event, then they don't have to come. It depends on which side of the fence you're on.
And you have to go look at for the club's point of view as well. So, like a club like Peterhead or any of the clubs in the Championship, League 1, League 2, whatever, can a month off or 2 months off be sustainable again? Probably not.
Yeah, and yeah, like you, I think a lot of teams were really struggling last time, and some of them still are, even though crowds are back and hospitality, things are, you know, slightly different for some people. You know, I think clubs were struggling. I think even some of the Premiership clubs, when it first started, they were saying, you know, they were struggling financially as well. So, yeah, as I said, hopefully there is plenty of football for this next month.
Yeah, hopefully by the time the new year comes round, that there is a bit more kind of clarification and we're not sort of walking on eggshells, wondering what might potentially happen, but we'll wait and see on that. So, final game of the year, final game of 2021 is away to Montrose. As the guy said in the audio there, it's obviously going to be a difficult game. All these games are difficult in League One. Montrose now up to second in the table, five off of Cove. It will be a tough test, especially on a Wednesday night as well. It just makes it a little bit more difficult for the guys as well, I think.
Yeah, under lights as well at Links Park. Excuse me. I think normally there's a lot of good games in there, has been the last couple of seasons, a lot of good goals as well. So I am expecting quite an open game by both teams. I think both teams will want to end the year with a win. I see no reason why either team would sort of sit back and be happy with a point. I think, as I said, both teams will want to win. And you know, it'd be a really good way to round off our year.
This is interesting because also we've got the game in hand because of the games that's been abandoned. This game's been brought forward, so any kind of points we get from this one, we're now more points on the board from likes of Dumbarton and East Fife, even though they've got two games in hand. But as Rusty said in his audio there, it doesn't necessarily mean that those points are guaranteed.
Yeah, and as I said, it's all right in the games in hand, but I think it sometimes puts more pressure on you. It's all right you saying, oh, we've got Peterhead 6 points ahead of us, but we've got two games in hand. You've then got to go and win them two games. And, you know, teams that are, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, they didn't often put back-to-back wins together. That's why they're in that situation. Mm-hmm. So it's very difficult to do. And as you said, the game's been brought forward. And any point that we get, I think even if we do get it, 1 point, I think it'll be decent. You know, it chalks it up on the board and again just pushes you a bit further away from the bottom.
I mentioned earlier about we're unbeaten in four. Montrose are unbeaten in 11. 6 draws and 5 wins, so obviously it will be it will be a slightly tough game. But a lot of draws though.
Yeah. Again, they're one of them teams, if they turn their draws into wins, they'd probably be top of the table. But again, as we said, we're expecting a difficult game. I think it will be, but I do think there'll be a few goals in it. You know, maybe like a 2-2 or something. I think wouldn't it be the worst result? As you said, they're unbeaten in 11, so it'll be really tough to come away with 3 points.
Both of their losses in the league have actually come at home as well, so I think they've only picked up around about 12 or 13 points at home compared to 19, I think it is, away from home. So, you know, there's an element there that, you know, maybe a bit of complacency. The two defeats were Dumbarton and Alloa, teams that we've comfortably beaten at home.
Teams you wouldn't really expect.
You wouldn't expect, Montrose. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. Sometimes you just get them games where things don't quite go for you. But Montrose will be looking to, you know, extend their unbeaten run against us. On the flip side, we'll be looking to continue our unbeaten run. And, you know, as I said, end the year well with a win.
And then it was 0-0 last time at the home game. 1-0 loss down there back in August. We had a really, really dodgy penalty, which was still adamant it wasn't a penalty, but hey,
yeah.
So it will be tight. You would expect it to be tight. And I think, you know, we are now in a position where we've probably improved even from the home game as well.
I think it's two evenly matched sides as well. I know that obviously Montrose are sitting second, but I don't think there's that much between the teams. I think you look back the fixtures over the last 3-4 years, they are relatively tight games with either side winning, you know, by the odd goal here and there. Could be the same again on Wednesday, because you're looking to end the year well. And I think if we do get something for the game, I think, you know, at worst case scenario, say you get 23 points, I think that would be a decent return for the first part of the season.
We've got Rusty on 10, he's got 8 in the league. Our old friend Graham Webster is 13 goals and 17 he's got in the league. He's one behind David Gwilly, who's on 14 but has played a game more. So again, what we said about the home game up here, you know, if you keep him quiet, which I think we did for large parts of the home game, we'll do quite well, because again, you know, to rely on him for a lot of goals, maybe gets one or two from the penalty spot as well, which is another story. But now, if you keep him quiet, there's very few goals within that team. I think I counted earlier on that they've got 8 different goal scorers within the squad, whereas we've got 11.
Yeah.
Whereas the goals seem to be a bit more spread out.
But Montrose Webster's well out in front
with
his goals. So yeah, as you said, if you can sort of keep him quiet and nullify the service going into him, it gives you a really good basis to try and get something from the game.
So we hope to end the year on a positive note. Again, as we noted, the game was brought forward from Boxing Day, which was the same as last year, same two teams as well. So obviously it's a Wednesday night in Montrose, but at the end of the day, it saves that travelling on a Boxing Day.
Yeah, and as much as fans enjoy the fact that we're the festive period, I think these guys have also got families as well. So for them to have their Christmas and, you know, they maybe do things slightly different now. They didn't hear the game on a Sunday. I think, obviously, everybody's been through it the last couple of years. I think the fact that they're getting to bring the game forward and then have the Christmas period off, I think it's a good thing by both clubs. And as you noted, it was the same two teams last year as well. So you'd maybe think it's maybe something they could look for. You know, the divisions maybe having a game on the Tuesday or the Wednesday prior to Christmas rather than the Boxing Day game.
And it just means as well that we've got about 10-11 days gap before the next one as well. So the guys will be well rested by the Cove game, which is going to be another tough one.
Yeah, the Sunday game, it'll be different, weird coming to a league game on the Sunday. But as you said, the guys will be well rested, maybe have one or two of them back as well going into the new year. But it's just away at Montrose and home to Cove, it's tough games, but we've yet to sit here and say we've got an easy game coming up, have we?
So as I said, well, hopefully that'll be a win to, or at least a point, I think would be a good way to end the year. And that'll be it for us. You're now off to kind of track your parcels.
Yeah, I'm waiting to
check your tracker, see where it is. So we'll wish you a Merry Christmas once again, and we'll see you in the new year. But that is it for this week, and that is this for the year. We're now going to take a wee break for a couple of weeks, so we'll be back, all things going well, we should say, week commencing the 10th of January. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank you all for your support we've received again in the last 12 months. We've seen a wee rise in our listeners in 2021, and we've now been heard in over 30 countries around the world, which is just incredible. So thank you very much to all our listeners, new and old. It's very much appreciated. My thanks to Martin, as always, for joining me, not just for tonight, but throughout the year. Once again, thank you very much. So on behalf of Martin Smith and myself, Colin Byers, I'd just like to wish you all a very happy and safe Christmas and a prosperous new year, and we'll see you in 2022. Until then, look after each other and stay safe. Thank you very much.